Welcome to the 2026 MMA Prediction Show with John Pollock and Ariel Helwani. The show where we look forward, but first, we must look back.
Yeah, PC's the new kid on the block. He was unaware that we wore tuxes on the show. So
this is my usual attire. I mean, this
you couldn't even have given us like the tracksuit with the chicken fillet, something, you know?
Well, listen, I have a confession to make. I'm actually wearing the newest boys, of course.
Oh my god!
Incredible!
Oh,
holy shit!
Wow! You know, when you guys reached out to me and asked me about coming on your show, okay? And
For the record, you reached out first.
I don't know about that.
Yes, you did.
I asked.
I have the DM.
I'm not arguing with you.
How's he doing?
He's doing well.
Good.
He's doing well.
Yeah.
Maybe
we can figure this thing out. Yeah, we should probably all get back together.
The one and only Tony Khan. Wow. Hey. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure.
It's a great pleasure
honestly,
to see you.
Please.
Thanks for having me.
I've never seen a manager do more media than him.
My God.
So my point is, if you're going to do that much media, expect people to talk about you. If you don't want people to talk about you, don't do the media.
Can you guys just stop talking about each other?
I can't promise that. I don't go there. Like some people would say, like, say that, you know, Kamaru's hairline is afraid of his forehead. I don't say that stuff. I don't go there.
We would all love, you know, as the mafia, is if you could announce a pick for the Buffalo Bills in the NFL draft.
Oh.
Why do you want to make something inherently more dangerous? Why?
You tell me.
No, you tell me.
Well, you're asking a question that you know the answer to.
No one gives a f-. Like, they don't give a f- about anything else.
I've even got a little cocktail going here.
And you got the freaking...
Oh, my God. Wow.
And with that, we welcome everyone to the 2026 MMA Prediction Show, dare I say. The 14th annual MMA Prediction Show. This is a thriving high school student now that you and I have raised.
First of all, great to be back. Second
great
of
to
all,
have you.
That recap was phenomenal. Brought a smile to my face. Third of all, 14th annual. This is actually older than my own award show, which is incredible. 14 years is insane. So what would 14 be? 2009?
No, this is 2013 was the first one, just off by like a presidential cycle there. But
wait, how could it be the first? Oh, I guess you count 2013.
I count those ones, and then you have been and then it's been a staple here in the post wrestling era. So this is
I break the fourth wall for a second?
Oh, yeah, let's smash down the wall.
We were supposed to go live at 4. Actually, I think this is the first time that we've ever gone live, right? Like live. Okay.
Yes.
So you told me this yesterday. I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, like, they don't call me, you know, Helwani Live for nothing. You know, I prefer it live. I like that pressure. So you say live, 4 o'clock Eastern, all good. No problem. At around 2 o'clock, my internet stops working, all right? This hasn't happened in a very long time, like 7-8 years that I've had some kind of, like, I have this little, like, control center here, my shelf, internet. So I'm going to call Verizon. They'll figure it out. We come to find out that my actual Ethernet port is broken. All right.
Oh,
so now someone has to come and do this thing. And it's a whole mess that took like 2 hours and a half to come to this conclusion. The room in front of me here like is a complete mess. I had to take things down. I'm all flustered. I come to you at around 4:38 or so. I'm embarrassed. My camera is not working. I'm using the crappy laptop camera. I'm looking yellow. It looks like I have jaundice or something. I don't know what's going on. But... I'm wearing my Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
You, oh my God, dude!
What you have?
My
this?
Wife got me that T-shirt for Christmas. I nearly wore that this morning.
Come on!
I swear on my life, I was about to wear that for the
Born Ready
was Kyan. Yes, Born Ready. Yeah, it's a white T-shirt. It's not the black.
I have the T-shirt.
That's
too,
wild.
Yeah. So, you know, I was ready to go. But anyway, now I feel good. We're doing this. It's like a warm blanket. It's great to be back. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to catch up with you. Is this week, you're coming off your annual Helwani Knows Awards on Monday. Then you had your boxing awards on Tuesday.
Yes.
And then And then what do you do on Wednesdays?
We do prediction show. But you seem to think that I'm stealing your thing with the prediction
show. I'm not at all.
I've been doing the prediction show for years. I just didn't have it as like the standalone thing, but I used to do with the Ringer guys. I'm not, you know, swagger jacking you, as they say. This isn't gimmick infringement.
I was not accusing you of this.
By the way, you call it prediction show, but it's really I think of likely unlikely.
That's fair. I gave you a good faith out because I felt that your focus should be your own show. I didn't want this to feel like we're double dipping here into your prediction. So I will state outright. No,
that wasn't a good faith out. That was more of a like, woe is me type of out. And then even today you were like, oh, should we push this to another? I said, no, absolutely not. We're not pushing this. I will be there. I will never, ever, ever like cancel if there's an unforeseen circumstance, of course, but I'm here. I'm ready to go. I've been waiting for this. And in fact, you did reach out to me via email as per tradition. And then you said you would reach out again. You did not reach out. I reached out to you to set a time. True or false?
Yeah, but you really did jump the gun a little. I mean, I heard from you like before Christmas, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, don't worry. I will be there. Like Santa Claus, I will be there. Don't worry.
Things are filling up. I'm trying to slot you in. I had you there. We didn't have a time. I didn't want anything else to come up. And then, of course, here I am 45 minutes late.
Well, you know what? Let's not take the anger out on us. Let's take it out on Horizon.
There's no anger. Yeah, you're right. No, it's more my port, really. It's more my little thing, whatever you call that thing. You know, like the jack, whatever you call it, the wall.
The Ethernet port.
Yeah.
Well, for those that are new to the MMA prediction show, what we are going to do first, as we said off the top, we go back. We're going to take a look back at Ariel's predictions from a year ago. What did he deem likely and what did he deem unlikely for the year 2025? He's going against a 2024 hit rate of 76%. That
record?
He was accurate. And, not your record. Your record overall was, I believe, 84% that you managed one year.
Okay.
That was the high water mark. So let us go back and see where we were in January of 2025. Very similar situation as the Bills head into playoff season. Last year, you were asked simply, open-ended, Buffalo Bills in 2025. You said likely.
That they would win the Super Bowl?
Yes, it was implied they were just going to go all the way.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I will never say otherwise. So you'll ask.
I've tried to refrain from ones that are going to be questions that you're answering with your heart, not your head.
Yeah. I'll never say otherwise. But yes, of course, we know how that panned out. I did hear, shout out to my good friend, Jason Takifman, who's a big fan of yours as well. And he told me that I know Brandon's a big Bills guy. You made a little joke about the Bills. He wasn't sure if they were home or not. Is he really a Bills fan? Like, he wasn't sure if they were home or away. I don't know. I was a little bit disappointed. Doesn't he live in Buffalo? How does he not know this?
He lives right in Buffalo, actually.
Yeah,
actually,
he's
about to move.
From Buffalo?
No, he's going to the outskirts of Buffalo, but still of.
Is he a big Bills fan? Like, would you classify him as a big Bills fan, or is he more
not, no.
Okay, all right. So then
we'll see if he gets swept up in the playoff wonder. How are we feeling this many days out from your pal Tony Khan's team on Saturday?
I've actually thrown out the offer. Bills win, I get to own the team for a day. Jags win, he gets to host the show for a day. So I haven't heard back yet. Just for a day. I'm not saying like own them, you know, outright. I feel very, very nervous for a number of reasons. By the way, if we would have talked, you know, in August, and you'd have told me Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson will not be in the playoffs, how do you feel about the Bills' chances? I would have said fantastic. I would have said like, we've got this in the bag. Unfortunately, we don't have home field advantage. Unfortunately, Josh Allen's a little banged up. His leg is banged up. Unfortunately, our wide receivers are very poor. Unfortunately, I feel like our defense isn't great. Our kicker is banged up. I'm feeling nervous, but maybe this is how it works. Maybe this is how it has to happen. We have to go on the road like road warriors, like Animal and Hawk, and we shock everyone. And so we beat Jacksonville, and then we beat Denver, and then we likely beat New England, and then it's on to the Super Bowl. And this particular Super Bowl, by the way, has been stressing me out because, as you may know, I will be covering the Winter Olympic Games for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And so I have known this for over a year that I will be in the middle of nowhere, Italy, during the Super Bowl. And so I kept saying to myself, could you imagine if I will be watching this game at 4 a.m. watching my boat? Does it happen like this? Maybe.
You've just increased my my belief in the Bills for this run now. I think that like that would just be fate?
Yes, yes, yes. I would be all by myself watching on some dodgy stream my beloved Buffalo Bills win the Super Bowl. And if that's what has to happen, that's what has to happen. I'm down.
Nottingham Forest finishes higher in the standings than the New York Knicks. And we had a whole discussion on what exactly this would mean as you explain the whole setup Nottingham plays in. So they finished in their, would you call it conference, in their division, whatever.
It's the Premier League table.
The entire table. They finished seventh with 65 points for the 2024-25 season. The Knicks, conversely, we're second in the Atlantic Division, a 51-31 record. You went with the Knicks, and you got this one correct. In fact, they had the fifth highest record in the entire NBA.
Okay, so yes, so that was the key stat right there.
Yes.
As long as they had more, like the ranking was
yes.
Was
I compared the higher. Knicks to the entirety of the NBA. They finished above Nottingham Forest, so you get that one.
All right.
The UFC ending up on Netflix. And you said likely for at least some portion. And I would say most assume that there would be some form of UFC representation. Enter the Ellisons, enter a $7.7 billion deal. Netflix left with nothing except for, well, the lead on Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, but it was revealed that they were very close, right? Even Mark Shapiro said it himself, that they were very close. So it looked like it was going to happen. But as you say, enter the Ellisons. They came in and they swooped them up. So them's the breaks.
That's it. You know what? Mark Shapiro was he's a big favorite on this show.
I like the sound of that.
he's a big favorite on my show too because I love his conference calls. Like he uses these corporate terms, and do you have one?
I'd really have to search here.
We're gonna take a bite of both parts of the apple.
Yeah, it's just all these terms.
There will always be a lot of gas in this car.
Yep. Yeah, so you know exactly what's what. So in any event, he said it. I think someone at Netflix may have said it. It seems like the UFC was hoping the PLEs, the numbered events, would be on Netflix and then the rest would be somewhere else. And I thought it was a surefire thing that they would split it up, but in the end, they did not.
I'm excited for UFC 324 when Canada realizes this doesn't apply to them. That's going to be a fun night.
It's wild to me that people still are confused about this. Like, I feel like I've said it a million times, but yeah. Wait, so we have to still pay for pay-per-views? Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, not only does Canada have to pay for every single one. Canada now probably has the worst deal of anyone. Not only that, but the UK has to pay for this one too. The UK never has to pay, but because it's Paddy in the main event, they're charging for this one. So this is the first time ever that the U.S. actually has like the best scenario of anyone.
So our next one, Tom Aspinall and John Jones happens in 2025. You said likely, but you didn't feel good about it. Should have gone with your gut there. Can't give you that one. One got the likely, and we will see if that one comes up again. Now, there was our next one here. We're going to get some real-time evidence here. I asked you, Bellator is dissolved and absorbed by the PFL. And you, like clockwork, responded, yes, likely. Almost so sure of yourself. And then what would I do following Ariel Helwani in his very next show? What would we hear from Ariel?
Right now, I could tell you on Monday, January 13th at 1:20 p.m. Eastern time, Bellator is dead. Bellator, as we know it, is no more. Bellator is dead. You will not see Bellator events anymore.
How about that?
I mean, this was the fastest one that I think you had the advanced knowledge of.
How do you find all this stuff? How do you remember all of this stuff? I don't even remember it.
Listen, okay? It all goes into the memory bank.
I don't even remember that. There you go. I got it.
The Global Fight League.
Uh-oh.
Just the focus of the entire combat sports industry a year ago holds two events.
Please,
you said
no.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
With all due respect to the Global Fight League, I mean, they were touting, hey, we're going to have a draft. Do we have a TV deal? No. But they did have the draft. And what a spectacle that was.
It was.
Mean, That one should be, you know, cemented in history. That wonderful draft where we had fighters that were getting drafted literally stating, I have nothing to do with this.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. Up there with some of the great promotions of all time. Yama, remember Yama back in the day? But at least they had an event. So yeah, unfortunately, no GFL.
Paige Van Zandt does the trifecta, having fights in BKFC, the Global Fight League, and Power Slap. Her year would consist of one slap fight on March 7th, the classic with Michelle Brown.
Yep, of course.
Didn't come up in your awards discussion, but no. that happened. You said this was unlikely and did not happen. She did not pull those off.
Yeah, it seems like she's not really fighting these days. I don't really know what she's doing, but yeah, them's the breaks.
Stipe Miocic is inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. Your response, unlikely. Dana never forgets.
No.
Stipe is just, he's gone off into the sunset. I don't know if we'll ever hear from this man again.
Actually, a video of him just popped up yesterday hitting mitts. And I couldn't believe it. I don't think he's training for anything, but yes. I think he is very happy to be left alone. I think he's very happy to not be bothered. Got a good payday at the end there. God bless him. He should be in the Hall of Fame, but yes, to your point, never forget.
John Jones, zero fights in 2025. You said unlikely to this, and no, we did not get any fights from John Jones.
Almost 30 yes. million.
Muhammad Makhachev is back in the UFC. Your response, unlikely. They hold a grudge. I know from experience.
Yes, yes. Although we mended our fences, which was nice. Not you and I, but Muhammad and I.
Yes. Nice to see a return. Do you feel that Muhammad Makhachev, is he this generation's Paul Daly?
No, I don't think he's Paul Daly.
The door is not shut.
In that regard?
Yes.
Oh, I was just saying, like, Paul Daly was way more popular, and what happened was like an actual incident. Maybe, but they hold grudges with other people. It's just not as publicized. It's a weird one. But I'll say no because like Daly was cut and banned.
Right.
I have just fought out his deal, and they chose not to resign him. They have done that with other people.
Well, speaking of fighters that were cut, one of our suggestions was Brian Battle fights in France again. And this was coming off his incredible heel promo in France several months earlier. Did not fight in France, was cut by the company after his weight miss. And then he did dirty boxing and then signed with the PFL. But you had said likely that we would see Brian Battle back in France. Seemed like a layup, but he did not have a great 2025.
No, got cut, missed weight, did fight in dirty boxing and signed with PFL. So that's something. But yeah, not exactly where we thought he was going to be.
Okay, here's a string of hits that you had. We had Francis Ngannou competes for TKO's boxing promotion in Saudi Arabia. You said unlikely to this scenario. Did not happen. Alex Pereira takes a heavyweight fight. You said unlikely. Dakota Dichova going to the UFC. Unlikely. She did not. Not a great follow-up year for her either. She had one fight all year.
Got hurt.
Yes. Hamzat Chimaev fights on U.S. soil. You said likely, and he made his way to Chicago. Jake Paul has another fight on Netflix. Did he fight again on Netflix? You said, I don't have insider knowledge on this, but I say likely. And yes.
Yeah. So
Jake Paul returning to Netflix.
Yes.
A UFC contracted fighter has a fight that is streamed on Netflix. You said likely to this scenario, but you did not feel good about this.
A UFC contracted fighter.
So this would have been the idea that a UFC fighter under contract would have been allowed to do, whether it be a boxing fight, something on Netflix. And this could have included, obviously the approval of UFC.
And I said likely to that.
You said likely to this.
Weird.
ESPN hiring Demetrius Johnson. You said no, that was not going to happen. This is such a dated reference here. Dana White appears on Talk Tua with Haley Welch. Do you remember? Wow. Do you remember her?
Yes.
She had like her 15 minutes of fame. Then she had some like crypto scam and just disappeared. Totally disappeared.
Yep.
But she like blew up for like 2 months. I guess was still in the public eye a year ago. Don Davis leaves the PFL. That one was unlikely. This was after his infamous State of the Union on LinkedIn last year.
Oh, yeah. A lot of things. Some big changes in PFL as we speak here today. Peter Murray out, but Don Davis still there, of course. But a whole bunch. I mean, the whole company is different. So, yeah. Interesting.
How are we feeling about PFL going into 2026? What are the burning issues for this company? Oof.
I mean, we could do a whole show just on this, but I think that they are doing away with the tournaments. They're streamlining everything. I think they're going to try to make a run at just being a number two promotion. Now, when's the last time they signed a big name? It's been a very long time. I like that they're seemingly like scaling down on the events, and they're trying to be strategic about where they go. Okay, let's go to Dubai with Usman Nurmagomedov. Let's go to Spain with Costello Venstinas. That makes sense, right? Let's go to Madrid. That makes sense. I'm not sure what they're going to do in Pittsburgh. That was the other event that they announced, but I like this. To me, just try to be the best promotion that you can be. Like this card on February 7th, it's a solid card, couple title fights. The one they had in Lyon, solid card. Enough of this tournament nonsense. Enough of this. Like, this doesn't work. It does not work. It will never work. So, and I think John Martin is very smart. I think the other executive they hired, Lenny Daniels, is very smart. So, unfortunately, they laid off a lot of people in the last 24 hours or so. So, I do wish them well, and my heart breaks for them. But I'm curious. It's one of the stories. They are the only number two. There's not even a number three right now, right? In the U.S. Like, I don't consider LFA a number three. They're in a completely different, and I don't consider CFFC, and perhaps I'm forgetting someone at the moment. One championship is not a number three. So they've got an opportunity to do something. Let's see if they can figure it out.
Throughout the month of January, you have the chance to lock in your subscription at the Post Wrestling Cafe for all of 2026 before the price increase takes effect February the 1st. Simply sign up before February 1st and you will lock in that price all year long. If that's not enough, this month we have the annual Best and Worst Of show as we get together with the Poison Rana crew to look back at 2025. We're also doing live watch-alongs of the Royal Rumbles from 1990 and 1995 with Brandon from New Jersey, a retrospective on the Tanahashi-Okada rivalry, plus reaction to Wrestle Kingdom 20, a review of TNA's debut on AMC, and much more, including TNA Genesis, UFC 324. It's all found at postwrestlingcafe.com. Keeping on the PFL topics, Shannon Knapp is hired by the PFL. You said unlikely to this scenario. Patchy Mix fights for the UFC bantamweight title.
Mm.
He did not fight for the bantamweight title in 2025. I'll go out on a limb and say he's not going to fight for a bantamweight title in 2026 either.
Did I say likely to that?
No. You said unlikely. You got this one correct. Yes.
All right.
Mauro Ranallo calls a WWE show. No, he called an event where he very much promoted WWE, but did not call a WWE event. Itself.
Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling, though. Shout out.
That's true. Yes. Stephen A. Smith's new deal with ESPN is a non-exclusive one, meaning that he can do outside sports. You said likely to this new deal as he was deep in negotiations, and that he would be able to do his own stuff. He was, so we gave this one to you.
Thank you.
Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer lasts the entire year as a WWE sponsor. So when we did the show last year, it was after the debut on Netflix. Hulk Hogan is booed out of the Intuit Dome. Of course, Hulk Hogan passed away this past July, but TKO is a minor stakeholder in Real American Beer, and this sponsorship has outlived Hogan and continues to be a sponsor that you can see on the mat at WWE and continues to be a sponsor.
And Real American Freestyle Wrestling doing its thing too, right?
That is true. That will probably
big show this weekend.
It is. Yes, they have. Do you have Fox Nation? Have you watched this?
I think I have watched it.
Okay. I feel there would be a decent amount of interest if this were more widely available. I don't know how many people are seeking out Fox Nation for this.
I spoke to them about that. I said, you know, my wish for you is that you could be on FS1. You know, like as opposed to a streaming service that's behind a paywall, because I think the product is interesting. I'm not a huge connoisseur of wrestling, obviously, like freestyle wrestling, amateur wrestling. The one thing I'd love to know, and I actually spoke to Chael about this, who works for them, Kyo Sonnen, and it's like, All right, so like this weekend they have Armin Sarukian going up against Lance Palmer. Do hardcore wrestling fans want to see... I know Lance Palmer is a former collegiate wrestler as well, but like, do they want to see... Okay, perfect example. They have Henry Cejudo going up against Uriah Faber end of February. Do hardcore wrestling fans want to see two MMA guys, because that's what they are now. I know Henry's an Olympic gold medalist and all that, wrestle? Or do you want to see, like, let's see how good Armin Sarukian is and let's put him up there against a great collegiate slash amateur wrestling? That to me might be more interesting. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's see the worlds collide option. We hear about how great these guys are as MMA grapplers. How would they fare against, you know, the creme de la creme in our world? I will say this though, Bo Nickel versus Yoel Romero, like, to me is must see TV. I am very interested in seeing that. So yeah, let's see.
Many months out from his return, you were asked, Brock Lesnar appears on WWE programming, and you said, likely. And Brock returns at SummerSlam, and we have since seen him in multiple follow-up appearances. Now, this one, you had to give it some thought, but you did state likely that Dana White would appear at WrestleMania in Las Vegas, and Dana White was shown on camera and booed. Booed in Las Vegas.
Was it loud?
It was audible. There were definitely some boos for Dana White.
All right. And then he just left, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, he was there. Not a fan of stadiums, remember.
Right.
Vince McMahon is interviewed, not under oath. And no, we did not see any sit-down interviews with Vince McMahon. No detailing anything involving his new company or anything. A low-key year filled with lawsuits and...
an accident.
Legal issues.
Wasn't the accident this year or was that last year?
That was the morning that Hogan died. He got into the car accident.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Nick Khan leaving his position at WWE. You stated unlikely, not this year, mentioning the boxing. Although both of us had agreed that we don't see this being the end game for Nick Khan in WWE.
Correct.
Which I still maintain. I think there will still be a larger position for Nick Khan down the road. But it seems like I would imagine the boxing stuff is... Like, the guy did a media tour in advance of that Las Vegas hearing. I think, like, that's probably a big portion of his plate right now is getting this thing up and running.
100%.
Are you excited for the Apex as the site for the launch of this new entity?
I almost want to give them, and I haven't checked in very much. You know, I hear from other people's about it, but, like, the Nevada Athletic Commission has said January 23rd. Right now it's January 8th. So what is that, 15 days if my math is correct?
We got basically 2 weeks.
2 weeks until their debut. Weigh-ins would be 2 weeks today. I just have to say, like, I have to almost believe that they're not doing it anymore. Like, maybe they reserved the date, but I can't imagine them putting together a card. Maybe I'm wrong, and this is the soft launch, but knowing these guys, and, like, they're not dolts. Like, these aren't people who... don't promote events on a daily basis around the world, right? Like, they're not dummies. We've seen people come into combat sports and they're dummies and they don't understand. These aren't dummies. And so I have to imagine that maybe they, like, reserved the date and now have realized it's not feasible for whatever reason. And if that is the case, the larger point is, well, clearly they did want this date. Why couldn't it get off the ground? And what does this mean for the... you know, like, the early stages of this company? Like, they're doing Apex shows. It's not exactly what we thought it was going to be. So a lot of questions to be answered regarding Zuffa Boxing.
Do you think at all the thinking of that date was the idea that it's like they wanted to piggyback this off the UFC pay-per-view? And that is this something that, you know, we're going to get MMA media to cater
1,000,000%.
And is that the right way to go about this? Like, is that a thought? Like, I feel like boxing is going to take this seriously and at least be interested right out of the gate, but it almost feels like a power slap deal where it's like, well, let's go to, like, the DNA that we know, which is getting coverage from the MMA outlets that are more likely that they'll be the ones in Vegas to go attend this thing.
Yeah, because as you said, it's what they know, and it sort of worked with Power Slap. Like, a lot of the media that's there, they go to it, they go to the press conference, they get stuff from Dana. I do think some local media will go way more. Like, there is boxing media in Las Vegas, obviously, and there isn't any Power Slap. But yeah, it feels like it, two things. A, they're piggybacking off that, but B, the apex is not going away anytime soon. Quite frankly, I'm a little surprised that NXT doesn't do more shows there. Like, it's not going away. And actually, the best show that I ever saw at the Apex was the NXT show, which is wild. It gave you hope that you could turn it into something, and they have renovated it and expanded it and all that stuff. But to answer your question, I am not surprised that they're trying to, like, run this same playbook.
And the last couple here, Donald Trump does not appear at one UFC event. So it's like he got back into office, no longer needs this, but he appeared at UFC 316, and you did say unlikely to that scenario. So the biggest MMA fan continues.
Yes.
Carl Froch appears on the Ariel Helwani show. You said likely.
Wow.
You said Carl and I are not in a great place right now. I believe I was nominated for his Clown of the Year award. So where are things with Carl 1 year later?
Non-existent. I mean, listen, we don't punch down in life, and we moved on. We moved on, and we're now on to bigger and better things. So I wish him well. He's thriving. He's doing his thing. I was gonna take a pot shot, but I don't feel like getting into the whole thing with him. So I'm moving on.
Ariel selects the UFC once again as the winner for poster of the year. You said unlikely, absolutely not, a total anomaly that Noche UFC got your pick for 2024. This year, you went with Nurmagomedov Hughes 2 from the PFL in October.
Which actually pissed off a lot of people. I couldn't believe it myself. Oh my God, people were so mad about this. This guy doesn't know ball. This guy's a freaking shill. I'm like, are you out of your mind? First of all, I've been doing these damn award shows since most of you were in your father's nutsack. Second of all, you're trying to tell me, you know what I love about this time of year? Can I tell you something about this time of the year? And you probably get a little bit of it, but you cover the scene more extensively than I do. No matter what, it doesn't matter if it was Pride, if it was Sengoku, if it was Yarinoka or whatever it was called, or Dream, or now Ryzen, you will always get those people who will take that badge of honor that they stayed up for 12 hours on New Year's Day to watch MMA overnight and be like, what do you know about this guy? What do you know about posters? What do you know about the Saitama Super Arena and Saki Kibara and all this stuff? Like, chill out, guys. All right, chill. It's been the same song and dance for 15 years. All right, it's been like, I remember this happening in 2007. All right, so just calm down, everyone. Calm down. Yes, Ryzen posters are great, but I like this PFL poster because it told the story of the first fight. All right, so everyone, just chill out. I know how great Ryzen is. Ryzen's actually doing great. The Japanese scene is doing fantastic right now.
My favorite was when Fight Pass launched, and that very first show was a card in where Singapore, as I recall, and that was the thing. Was like, you're not a real fan if you're watching it on demand on Fight Pass. I'm like, I'm a guy with a fucking brain between my ears. I'm not watching this live at all. This Fight Night card from Singapore at the middle of the night. I'm sorry. I'm not as hardcore fan as you are. Those tough noobs. Mark Raimondi asks Roger Goodell a question at Super Bowl media availability. You like the spirit of the question, but you went unlikely, which Mark Raimondi, I don't know if he was there for the Super Bowl, but did not get a question asked to one Roger Goodell, as Raimondi had just shifted allegiances. A Mitrione minute occurs in 2025. You said unlikely. You did not seem too high on that.
Love Matt.
And finally, this is one where I don't know the answer to. A chapter one draft of Highway to Helwani is written.
I can't confirm nor deny, but that means you don't know whether or not to give it to me or not.
I can't give it to you if I don't know the answer here. I have to assume no, but
okay.
This only has to be like in your notes app. I hear I'm really going on the honor system here.
Likely. It happened. It has happened.
Wow. Well, you know what? This is going to blow your mind because we're going to have to do a slight update in the percentages here. So
just put me over.
This means that you finished with 27 correct out of the 35 scenarios, and that takes you from 74% up to 77%, and thus you beat your 2004 record because of that draft that you read.
Wow. 2024.
Okay. So you beat 2024 because of that one extra correct answer. So there you have it. Always ready.
Born ready.
Ariel Helwani. All right. So there you have it, everyone. That's how this game works. And now I have put together a list for 2026. And we're gonna see what the year has in store. That's what we're shooting for. 76%. We will do this next year. I'm officially booking Ariel right now. We're gonna do it awards week.
God willing.
So we start off. The Toronto Blue Jays return to the World Series. We're not projecting that they have to win it. They just have to make it to the World Series once again after sweeping the city. If you could have been here in Toronto in October, Ariel, magic.
I know it. I have some friends that live there as well. Shout out to Danny's Pizza Tavern. I was actually in Toronto the following week, and I felt it. I felt like a palpable like mourning. I felt such a sadness in the city. And so that kind of explained to me like the fever, but I got it. It was amazing. I'm still not quite over it. Like, I still can't believe that it played out the way in which it did. One of the greatest sporting series that I've ever witnessed. I'll never forget that 18 inning game. But yes, the answer is likely they are going. I really hope they re-sign Bo. I don't like this Yankee talk, this Red Sox talk. I really hope they re-sign him. But so far, pretty good offseason, I would say. So yes, I'll say likely.
All right. Again, doesn't have to win the entire thing. They've just got to make it. The Knicks face OKC.
Wow.
NBA Finals.
Now, if it's like Knicks versus Rockets, do I still get it?
If you say likely, we'll give it to you if the Knicks just make it to the finals.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma is not the be-all, end-all of this. This is more Knicks-centered question.
I'm sure about the Knicks. I'm just not sure about those guys.
Okay. Well, then we will give you this likely here. All right. As of right now, if my standings are up to date, the Indiana Pacers have a record of 6-29. They received the first pick in the NBA draft. Oh.
It's such a good question, because you know this is exactly what happens. And in fact, I said this to my kids. I guarantee you these guys who have no business being this bad are going to get the first pick. It always works this way. Spurs, it always happens. Mavericks. So, but it's, you know what? I'm going to say likely. It always happens this way. Crazy.
If the NHL playoffs began today, two Canadian teams would be in the playoffs. That would be the Montreal Canadiens and Edmonton Oilers. So that is what we are asking you. Two Canadian teams make it into the playoffs. None more.
There's only
this
two
has not
right
been
now.
A great year for the Canucks. The Maple Leafs are the Maple Leafs. They will always disappoint.
Yeah. I think the Canadiens will definitely make it, and I think Edmonton will as well. So yeah, two. Wait, and by the way, if it's three, do I get it? Is it at least two?
No, we got to keep it at two, okay? So there's not going to be a surge here. It's got to be... two on the dot.
Wait a second. Let me just look at the standings real quick. Let me just see this here. Standings. Man, Maple Leafs doing that bad, huh?
I mean, I believe the sun came out this morning. So
they have 47 points. They're only 2 points back. And then let me see. Ottawa sucks. Let me see who else would be a candidate. Probably in the West, Calgary. Oh, Calgary's doing bad. 40 points. Los Angeles, 46. Who's close? No.
Winnipeg's in the basement.
Wow. Last year they were great. All right. As you can see, not following it extremely close at the moment. I'll go likely. Just those two. Wow. How about that?
All right. There you have it. Montreal and Edmonton. Doesn't have to be Montreal and Edmonton. Just the two teams. All right. Next one we have is a new labor agreement with the Major League Baseball Players Association is struck before the end of 2026.
The year 2026.
Yeah. By December 31st, 2026, a new deal is struck and formally announced. Strike averted before the end of the year.
Unlikely.
This could be the death knell for baseball. Shohei Ohtani either hits 60 home runs or throws 80 strikeouts. Now, to compare, in 2025, he hit 55 home runs and had 62 strikeouts over 47 innings pitched. So unlikely. He would have to beat his totals either way.
I'll say unlikely.
Unlikely. Okay.
Too much.
We're going to throw some wrestling ones at you.
Oh, yeah. Love wrestling.
TNA Impact moves nights away from Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this something being discussed?
It was proposed to Carlos Silva. This was when they were doing their active negotiations. Would you be willing to move nights such as a Wednesday? They said they would be willing to move. I don't think it'd be I think it'd be a terrible idea for them.
Terrible idea. So you're saying to go up against AEW?
I think Wednesday would be the most likely one, but they could move to any night besides a Thursday instead of having their own night.
They'll stay on Thursday.
Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, has one match this year. One match.
What is going on over there? What's the story? What's the real story?
In regards to what? The Rock?
Yeah, like he's like nowhere to be found anymore. What happened?
I mean, I think he distanced himself. I mean, he came in, did the big angle. They did no follow-up, and I think he just peaced out, and that's... They work around Dwayne Johnson's schedule, and it's very...
Can I go on a slight tangent?
Go for it. Go for it.
Because I haven't found a place to say this, because it happened during the break. So my view on the Cena retirement match was that it was not good. My view on the Cena retirement match that, you know, we don't have to get into all that necessarily, but, like, the guy is, you know, Mr. Never Quit, and then here he is. Not only, like, number one, I thought he should have won, because I think the whole time-honored tradition stuff is BS, because that business doesn't exist anymore. They're doing Unreal and all that stuff, which is totally fine. I like it, but, like, don't talk to me about the way it's done 1976 Portland wrestling, okay? It's a whole different world now. So, number one, I think he should have won. Number two, if he was going to lose, I think he, all right, you get, you know, I don't know, you get pinned, or you don't tap, but you just go out. You go out on your shield, right? Like, that's what you do as a fighter, right? You go out on your shield. You certainly don't smile and tap. Like, all that I thought was super weak, okay? But here's the thing that really annoys me now. So what annoys me is I go on this rant, and now I get all these people sending me the clip of Cena talking to Cody Rhodes and being like, I loved it, right? And so they're like, how can you say that it was bad if he chose it? He loved it. Well, let me just explain it to you like this, guys.
That's like Shaquille O'Neal saying, I loved my rap album. It was great.
Forget that. How about this analogy?
Okay.
John Cena is the director of a movie, right? Let's say he's Benny Safdie talking about the Smashing Machine. Of course the director is going to say, I love the movie. That doesn't mean that the movie is good. We get to decide if it's good. You don't get to decide anymore. You make the product, we decide. The movie was bad. The movie was a mistake. It was a bad ending. And just because this is what you wanted as the director, and this is exactly what you wanted very clearly, and this, well, actually, who knows if it's truly what he wanted? He's the company man, so who knows? But you're telling us this is what you wanted. You're telling us this is what makes you happy. You're telling us you're at peace. Great. Now we get to decide if it's good or bad. And it wasn't. So stop telling me that this is what he wanted, and stop telling me that he's very happy and he's at peace and he had a smile on his face. It wasn't good. It was a botch, all right? The whole angle was bad. And so enough already. That's my tangent. Now,
I think it'll be judged on where Gunther is in like 6 months. I do think he got a lot out of it. I didn't mind him winning. I can certainly see like the tapping and the smile to their side. That thing has gotten so much discussion and play that I think they just view it like that's a win. You create something that gets that length, those kinds of legs out of it. They view that as a win. I think it could have been accomplished there without doing the finish that they did with the smile.
And I know, and of course Gunther was going to show up on Monday and get a ton of heat, and he's an incredible talent, and I'm not trying to say that he doesn't deserve all this. And in 6 months, you know, we'll be able to tell where he's at and if it truly helped him. But I also do believe, like, look, we just watched Dustin Poirier have a retirement fight in New Orleans, and it ended a little bit sad. In the end, it was classy, and Max and him and his son and all that. But, like, this is the one entity that can actually script these things. And you're charging so much, and it was such a hot ticket. Can you give the people what they want? They didn't want to see him lose. And you know what? They didn't want to see him to lose to Dominic. And I know he had to give up the belt, so don't give him the belt to begin with. Like, they didn't want to see him get his ass whooped by Brock Lesnar. There seems to be this desire to not give the people what they want. Give the people what they want. They want to see him go out, sail off into the sunset. And they didn't do that.
If they could control things, Tim Sylvia is stopping Randy Couture in the first round.
Amen. Amen.
So, what a dated reference from me.
No, it's great. UFC 65. No, 66? 65.
68?
68? No. I think
65 was the one where Arco Reina's
GSP. GSP against Matt Hughes is 65. Was he on that card? No.
He was. That's the one where he was calling it and saw Tim Sylvia with Jeff Munson.
Yes, and he's like, I could beat this.
I can beat this guy.
Yeah, and then 68 in Columbus. Yeah, yes. He wins it. Yeah, yeah. Well, he drops him early. Yeah, tremendous.
WWE announces the expansion of the Royal Rumble to two nights beginning in 2027.
God, I hope not. Unlikely. Is that being discussed?
I mean, they have certainly, like, put it this way. They want to sell these shows, and if they can break them up and that creates more from these cities, they will do it. The Royal Rumble, you could argue, is the easiest one to separate, but I think
like the woman,
SummerSlam
the
ended up being a big success. They got like $7 million from New Jersey for doing two nights, and they did really well at MetLife both nights, but I think it's going to depend on the market and that it's financially rewarding for them to give a city two events as opposed to just one.
So you think it would be like women's one night and then men's the other?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that sometimes it does feel like a lot, right?
It's excessive to do two in one show.
Yeah, so maybe. But yeah, I like one night.
All right. And two more wrestling ones here. A WWE main roster PLE once again runs against an AEW pay-per-view on the same day. So even if AEW shifts to the afternoon or whatnot, doesn't have to be direct head-to-head, but the same day like we got with WrestlePalooza and All Out in September.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What, it's on.
That feels like the easiest one to predict, no?
Well, they've stopped since September. They haven't programmed any head-to-head since.
But there hasn't been that many, right? Like what there was a Saudi one. There was a Survivor Series.
They'd been doing it consistently with NXT shows. And then there was the All in Texas was the same day as an NXT show and Saturday night's main event. And so at least for the last few months, they've stayed away from AEW dates. But I would lean towards your impression, too, that we get at least one. And finally, Mick Foley joins AEW.
Wow.
Mick Foley has disassociated himself with WWE over their connections to the Trump administration. So will we see Mick Foley have some kind of affiliation with AEW? Obviously, this is not for wrestling, but having some kind of ambassador role, some type of role working for AEW.
I'll say unlikely.
Okay. On to the MMA topics. We'll start it off easily here. This might be a rather simple one. We have Zhang Weili returning to strawweight.
Easy peasy. Likely.
Alexandra Pantoja receives an immediate title rematch. You had just reported he does not need surgery. So does he have to go through somebody, or are they just going to put him against Joshua Van? Or
okay, so just to be clear, if Van fights someone else and then whomever wins that fights Pantoja.
Yes, it doesn't have to be Van. It's Pantoja's just his next fight is for the title. Yes.
Likely.
Okay. This would seem like a simple one, but it's the UFC, folks. And as Ariel has warned us, they never forget. Armin Sarukian fights for a UFC title.
This year?
Yes.
It's so weird. It's such a weird time. I'll say likely, even though, God, I mean, how are they going to? This guy has become so popular now with his videos and everything. Like, well, what are they doing? What is this grudge that you're holding? Could you imagine how much bigger this fight would be on January 24th if it was Tarukian versus Patty? Like, Gaethje just has no buzz attached to him whatsoever.
This has no bearing on your likely, unlikely, but if he does fight for a title, do you see it more likely to be he is a replacement for an injury rather than being granted a title fight? Because I feel it's more so the former.
It might have to be like
he saves the day when they need a body to fill a empty slot on a pay-per-view. Well, not pay-per-view,
I could see that.
Speaking of said subject, UFC promotes a pay-per-view in the U.S. where they are charging you, the American, to watch a card. Dana has stated. Was that not the weirdest rollout where you had Mark Shapiro, the pay-per-view industry is dead, and Dana, like, totally different playbooks that the two were reciting from?
Well, what happened was it was the week of the Chicago pay-per-view, and so I think rightly so, Dana was like, yo, could we chill on the pay-per-view is dead? And maybe it was ESPN being like, hey, you know, we've got like four or five more of these. But no, I don't think in the 7 years. I think the big story to watch is anything going to be on CBS? Because, you know, they touted the CBS angle and the linear, But if I'm Paramount and Paramount Plus, I want everything. I don't care about CBS. I want everything on Paramount Plus. I'm trying to drive subscribers up. So I'm really curious about that. But pay-per-view, no.
A non-Abu Dhabi numbered card airs live in the afternoon. So this would be some kind of international show that they're not going to air at some ridiculous time in that location. Instead, they're just going to air it in prime time there, and North American audiences will get it at a different time, like WWE does.
Yep. I think eventually it will happen. I don't know if it happens this year, but I'll still say likely. I think eventually we'll get that once this becomes the norm, but they're very stuck in their ways. And so I think they're going to try to keep things as is, but eventually they'll realize, like, this makes no sense.
Okay, we'll do a boxing one here.
Ooh.
Katie Taylor fights inside of a stadium.
Man, that is a good one. I think if Holly Holm would have won, they would have tried to make that happen. But stadium in let's go likely.
Okay, we'll go likely on Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
The number of combined fights between Tom Aspinall and Ilya Topuria is one.
One. No.
One between them.
I'll say unlikely.
You think we get fights from both of them this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope so.
We nearly got it. 2026 produces Silva Weidman 3 in a boxing ring.
I think MVP is really into Anderson Silva, and I think he delivers for them, especially on Netflix. And I think they like the idea of this fight. I'll say likely.
Do we see Beverly Hills Cop himself, Anderson Silva?
What a weird one that was. Sure, why not? I mean, he's got to do something. He can't fight forever.
Can you, like, outline, like, 50 years old, gets a reported $10.6 million payout from this class action suit against the UFC, does boxing, and then I'm going to become a cop at the end of it all?
He's the man.
What a life.
What a life. And he's got such a, like... I have to say, you know, seeing him at these events, because I have great respect and admiration for Anderson. I know who he is. I've watched him and followed him. So I'm like, he has an aura, and I'm drawn to it. And I was talking to him backstage before the weigh-ins, and I hugged him. Like, we said hello, so we hugged, you know, that whole thing. And the guy is a freaking, like, he's a brick. And I said, Anderson, what is your secret? And he has, like, such a, like, a loving way of describing it. He said, no sugar, no carbs, and love in your heart. That is the secret. And I was like, man, what a guy.
You know, it was on your show right after Sam Stout had his last fight, and you had asked him about, did anyone from the UFC, like, call, congratulate you on your career or anything? Like, no call. And I just remember, like, that's like just the coldest story. But I was like, you know, I guess Sam Stout doesn't get that. But then seeing Anderson Silva's exit from the UFC, I was like, there really is no sacred figures. It's like, as long as you're useful for us, and the second you're not, it's on to the next one. That's kind of the treatment when an Anderson Silva was just, you know, ushered out in such unspectacular fashion, that I do enjoy seeing this guy have, like, another act in him at this age. And the fact that we're also watching this guy who it's not even that guilt, that it's like monetarily he needs to do this. This is someone that is not in any need of financial compensation. No. He's just doing this because he is clearly, like, this is, you know, what he wants to be doing.
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, I will say this, like, I do feel like, you know, regardless of how it ended and whatnot, like, wrestling and WWE, they treat the legends a lot better. You know what I mean? I feel like they give them at least some kind of love on the way out, whether or not they win the match or not. I don't know. It's just, like, by the way, when's the last time you saw any legends? You know, you'll see the odd GSP there, and it took a while for him to start showing up again. But, like, when do you see Rampage or Randy or, you know, there was a while Chuck wasn't showing up. Now you'll see him from time to time. But, like, how many legends do you actually see at these events? Like, there should be a whole legend section, Hoist and all these guys. You never see them at the fights, unless they work for the UFC, like Forrest or Big Nog or those guys. And
that was one thing Scott Coker was very good about in Bellator, where they would bring in, like, their, you know, have their kind of legends deals.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Francis Ngannou ceases ties with the PFL in 2026.
When you say ceases ties, does that mean, like, maybe he doesn't re-sign with them?
Yes. Yeah, that would definitely qualify.
I'll say likely.
Okay. Jake Paul takes the year off of boxing.
I think we see him, but it's like fourth quarter, like, you know, like December or November or something. Okay. So I'll say unlikely.
Have any of these scenarios, are any of them going to be decided on Monday's show when you go through the news? Are you going to report any of this?
No.
Have I hit on anything yet?
By the way, I mean, things could change between now and Monday, but as of right now, there's nothing really that I can say, like Francis, Jake, that stuff's not happening.
All right, the next one we go to, UFC Fight Pass shuts down in 2026.
Ooh, that's a really interesting one.
12 years after its launch.
Yeah, it does feel like there's a lot less focus on it, and now LFA has left and some other smaller promotions.
The library is now on Paramount, correct?
In America.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But by the way, I don't have Fight Pass, believe it or not, so I don't know if you can also get it there.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know there are some territories that like their outlet is Fight Pass where they
That's where I see it being like a tool internationally. Like in the US though, it's like I think if it was just strictly US, like I don't see them keeping this just for grappling events and if the library is gone. But
I thought that they would try to do it like WWE did with the network and just try to sell it to someone.
Yeah.
It didn't really happen. Obviously it wasn't as like buttoned up, but I don't think it shuts down. I just think it continues to be less and less of a thing.
All right. Kayla Harrison retires as UFC bantamweight champion, scheduled to fight Amanda Nunes in a couple of weeks. Co-feature.
Yeah. I'll say likely.
Is that is she in that upper echelon of guests for you at this stage? I think there's a unique
love her.
Just something about your conversations with Kayla Harrison that I think kind of set them apart.
I appreciate that very much. Really enjoy her. We did a live show in Florida. She drove an hour to come, which was really, really nice of her, and brought her family. Yeah, there's just something, you know, she doesn't do a ton of media, which is great. And there's something real and raw. Obviously, I very much appreciate the fact that she's one of the few dominance MMA clients who tells their manager, you will not tell me what to do because I pay you and I'll come on the show. So that means a lot. But she's such a great personality. And quite frankly, I think the UFC should push her more because her story is unbelievable. And I feel like if she wins this fight, you have to have her on the White House card. Two-time Olympic gold medalist. Like, it would be crazy not to. So, yeah, she's great. I'm a huge fan.
I just thought for a lot of reasons, like, granted, we're a couple of weeks away from the fight, so we'll see what the full promotion, how it ramps up in the next couple of weeks. But I kind of just thought that, number one, it just feels like you're starting this new era with a women's fight that just, it runs so counter to, I think, what a lot of the public views UFC as right now, that feels very much heavy, young male, right wing. And here is such a contrast to that image that we're starting off. And it's, to me, frankly, I think it's like the bigger fight. Like, if you're arguing, like, what is the more attractive fight just from a drawing perspective, I think like the story writes itself here. And it's, you know, I'm sure there are
both fights on there. You could have had both fights. Just, I believe you end with the undisputed title.
I think so too. Like, I think that.
And not only that, it's the return of arguably the greatest fighter of all time. And they've got an incredible, like, backstory, former teammates, all this stuff. Like, if you can't sell this, Patty versus Justin has no heat behind it. Now, come fight week, Patty will do his thing and it'll be all good. Patty versus Armin has a ton of heat, but I don't see anything. I mean, Patty and Armin are talking more shit about each other than Patty and Justin. Like, I haven't even heard Patty and Justin. I think when they were at the presser, they were like being buddy the whole time. So I don't know. I'm not a fan of an interim title being above anything. Obviously, Conor McGregor plays by a different set of rules, but I typically feel like the undisputed belt should go last.
Well, we're going to stay on this topic. Amanda Nunes fights twice this year.
Unlikely.
Yeah. So just one and done, comes back and that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of drama involving this man and this promotion, but fences are mended in 2026 and we get Frankie Edgar fighting for BKFC.
By the way, I thought you were going to go in a totally different direction there. And you know what I was thinking this morning? I was thinking, was one of last year's questions Tony Khan coming on the show? And I was wondering if I would have said likely or unlikely. I think I would have said unlikely. And
you know what? I might have asked that the
maybe 2 years ago, right? I feel like you asked me at some point. But anyway, who saw that one coming? Frankie Edgar, I'll say unlikely.
Unlikely with BKFC. Okay.
Yeah.
The GFL holds another draft. Oh. Dare I say an event. All they have to do is get a draft out there. Or have we heard the last of the Global Fight League? It's done. It's gone.
Maybe there's some sort of like different iteration of it out there, but no, this is not happening.
I mean, it was kind of nostalgic. Like, I feel like we have gotten to a point where like these fly by nights used to be like a feature of MMA.
It was actually fun. It was fun. Yes.
I mean, it was like there's a part of me like I don't have any investment in this. It's just like I'm just watching every mistake made over and over again, like we're here for it.
There was a Yama, like I said, Moosin. You remember Moosin?
Moosin. That was
There's a promotion called the VFL, and I'm not going to say that they're going to fail, but like they did an event at Times Square, like in the middle of Times Square, and then another one at the Terminal 5 hangar. And yep. I'm not really sure what their deal is and where they're getting their money from, but they're kind of flying under the radar at the moment, so I won't put them in that category. Oh, remember Shark Fights?
Yep. Shark Fights. Fun. Yeah. Wasn't that Don Fry did commentary, I think, for one of
their
shows.
And then there was one in Italy. I think it was like, and Mayhem came overweight like by 14 pounds. Venator or something?
Yeah, didn't Paul Harris fight for them? I think he was involved there.
These are great days. These are great days.
MMA, it's got a storied history of a cemetery. Either AJ McKee or Dakota Dichova leave the PFL for the UFC.
I'll say unlikely. They both signed new deals, and Dakota's like, you know, arguably their, I don't want to say their biggest star, but the one that has the most potential. I think she would be a gigantic star if she was in the UFC. She would be like not quite Ronda, I think, but like a notch below, and then has the whole UK angle to her too. So yeah, but she got paid really well. So I don't think so. I know the UFC has discussed internally trying to trade for her. I know that. I could tell you that, but it never really got off the ground.
Finally, her name comes up. Ooh. Ronda Rousey fights Gina Carano.
A little early. I do think there's something there, so I'll say likely.
Early. I think we're running out of time here. I mean the
I don't think it's happening next month. I don't mean early. I think there's something there, so yes. But who knows?
I'm not gonna ask you about Katie Taylor. I think Ronda Rousey, Gina Carano.
That was never a thing. That was never a thing. It was I think her manager just trying to make it into a thing.
All right. Ronda Rousey appears on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Ooh. I'll say unlikely.
Unlikely. You don't see that one happening. No. For those that missed it, this was Ronda Rousey on Bert Kreischer's show that just went to town on Rogan. And Kreischer was just like...
That's like one of his boys, like, right? I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
She has so much anger in her. I don't know why.
Did you read her second book?
No, of course not. Oh, okay. Did you?
I did read her second book.
How many books in 2025?
43 was the number.
Wow. What's your most? Didn't you have 100 at one point?
No. I'm not 100 book reader. No. I mean, that's the year before, I think I did 52, like one per week. It worked out too. So I was a little down in 2025.
Is that your record?
52 would probably be the highest. Yeah. Off the top of my head. I think so. Did you read anything? You and I both read the Tupac book this year.
Yes. That was great.
I really liked it a lot. Yeah.
Jeff Perlman. What a guy. I read which books did I read? I read Natty Neidhart's book. Did you read that one?
I did too. I found that one surprisingly like really good. Like I thought she was a lot more revealing about like Vince McMahon and just being a square peg in a round hole in that company. A lot more than I would expect from like a WWE talent who's still there at the time. Yeah. And I quite frankly did not know the extent of like her upbringing and like pretty much being in poverty for a lot of that. Like I thought it was I would certainly recommend it of the wrestling 100%. Books.
I thought so too. I'm a huge fan of hers, and what a story, what a family. I'm trying to see if I could see my pile. I've got a couple others lying around, but I sort of just like nip away at I got the Eric Smith Raptors book. Did you get that one? I think it's called We the Raptors, about the history of the Raptors. Did you get, do you know about
that one? I read a Raptors book by, he's a reporter at the Fan 590. I think I can't
remember. Oh, is it Alex Sixero?
No, not Alex Sixero. It's, I'm blanking right now, but anyway, didn't read that Raptors.
Where, why did we talk about? Oh, Rhonda. No, I didn't.
Yes,
was it good?
I. It was enlightening just to see her. That pro wrestling was never going to work for her. Like she was in.
So what was it about? It was just about WWE.
Yeah, I mean, she did talk about like the loss to Holm and Nunez and what she went through. Like pretty much just being at the level of depression she hit from these fights. But as many people noted when like these stories were coming out about a comeback, like her concussions that she outlines in this book are just like how this woman was even fighting. Like she was getting concussed when she was doing like swimming and like, and then going into judo and then doing MMA. And she's getting concussed when like Stephanie McMahon is just slapping her in the ring. But there was a big disconnect for her because she's brought in for that WrestleMania in New Orleans and they rehearsed the hell out of that match for weeks and weeks. And she's of the belief this is how all matches are. It's like a movie stunt that we're just going to prepare. And then we take the finished product to the live crowd, not realizing, no, I'm going to be showing up at Raw and I'm not going to know what I'm doing until a few hours before. And there's not going to be any prep like WrestleMania was. And I think she kind of got this view that all preparation was going to be like this, and it's a way more of a fly-by-night type of operation, even at the level of WWE, that like you've got to be able to improvise and put together stuff real quick, and that seemed to be a big hang-up for her.
I maintain that's one of the worst debuts ever. Do you know why?
Why
we might
have
talked about this. My feeling as to why is, like, what's the goal in pro wrestling? The goal, ultimately, I think, is to become a big star. But, like, en route to becoming a big star is like, you want a finisher that is over, right? Mm-hmm. You want to get your finisher over. Everyone has a finisher. Tombstone, Stunner, People's Elbow, FU, F5, blah, blah, blah. She had the benefit of entering the company with a finisher that was already over, right? She had the armbar. You knew, like, when Jake hit the DDT, it should be lights out. Stone Cold hits a stunner, it's lights out. She hits the armbar, lights out. What happens in that match? I think Stephanie got out of like six armbars. So here's like a mother of three, CEO who's not a full-time wrestler, getting out of your finisher five or six times. It's not over anymore. The thing's not effective. It should have been, don't let her get it. Don't let her get it. She gets it, boom, 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 immediate, right? And she got out. Like they treated it as if it was like a headlock. You know what I mean? And you can't do that. It should have been slaps it on automatic. Did not happen.
You're forgetting, though, that she's probably learned a lot through the Henzo Gracie trained Shane McMahon. That submission defense.
Was he a part of it? Was he a part of that match?
No,
the company at the time?
He was not there at the company at that particular. He was actually. He was there in the company at that.
All right. Time. So maybe I'm selling her short.
All right, let us continue here. And we got Ciryl Gane holds a version of the UFC heavyweight title this year. It could be the full title. It could be an interim title. But Ciryl Gane gets some gold around his waist in 2026.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Okay. You brought this up earlier. Let's see. A UFC championship fight is broadcast on CBS. Network CBS itself gets a title fight.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Okay. Logan Paul boxes on Netflix. Mm. There's a Paul deficiency for Netflix.
Yeah. Unlikely.
Okay.
Just signed. I saw he just signed full-time. He said he's full-time now. Did you see that?
Yes.
What does that mean? Is he doing house shows? Are there even house shows anymore?
There aren't even house shows for him to work. I mean, and full-time is... It's kind of a misnomer. It's
right,
like,
right.
Okay, we show up for TV and we do like two matches a month.
Sure,
that's pretty
sure,
much
sure.
The schedule.
Sure.
Three championship fights happen on the White House card in June.
I'll say likely.
Not Not 15 title fights. Not.
No, you do like, let's say you do 7, like has been discussed. There's gonna be nothing left for like 3 months. You know what I mean? You don't have the luxury of doing 7 title fights. So 3 is doable, and maybe there's a BMF on there too. You know?
Okay. Anderson Silva has 2 boxing fights in 2026.
I'll say unlikely. Just unlikely. One.
You think we get at least one? Okay.
I think we get one.
Okay, here is one where a few things have to happen. Cain Velasquez wrestles for Real American Freestyle.
When's he out? Is he out in February?
He's up for parole in February.
Yeah. That would be a great story. I'll say unlikely.
All right. That would be quite the spectacle if it did occur.
Yeah.
The unretired Big John McCarthy officiates a UFC fight in 2026.
Likely.
How did you feel about coming out of your discussion with McCarthy after he backed the Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act? Did you come away with that with, you know, I respect his opinion quite a lot. I disagree with the Reform Act. I think there's aspects that you can take from it, but I have other problems with it. But did you come away with any like different thoughts after speaking to him that I think people would take the most serious of those that are backing that bill?
Look, I don't think, if you know anything about John McCarthy's relationship with the UFC, like, it's not exactly the best, right? I'm not going to say it's the worst, but I don't think John McCarthy has anything to gain by, you know, backing them. I don't necessarily agree with the thought process. And look, I think ultimately, as you kind of just said, like, you could go down the list and be like, yeah, okay, like, I get this, I get that. But you're being very naive if you don't recognize the reason for all of this, the overarching reason. And so it's kind of, they're kind of trying to, you know, distract you with some other things and talking about the rounds and all that stuff. It's like, we know exactly what it is, and that's fine. God bless. You're going to try to do it, and you're going to try to make it into what you think, you know, will be better for your company. But just kind of be honest about it all. And that would be my preference.
We don't have to be transparent with fighters, but this is for the good of boxing. I was like, you know what? I mean, but listen, I can also look at it. TKO has been so coordinated in this, and that is what they have. Like, look at that spree that Nick Khan went on in advance. And they, like, that hearing that they just had, like, they came out, I think they thought this was going to be rubber stamped. And when it wasn't, they really got their ducks in a row, and they just, you know, they're,
but like, I think
this thing is going to go through, and it's inevitable.
It's inevitable. But the question is, does it go through before their first event? Now, again, everyone's talking about this January 23rd. Until they announce it's not an event. And so, by the way, maybe that's another reason why. Maybe that's another reason why they haven't announced it. I don't think they want to put on an event before this goes through.
Throughout the month of January, you have the chance to lock in your subscription at the Post Wrestling Cafe for all of 2026 before the price increase takes effect February the 1st. Simply sign up before February 1st and you will lock in that price all year long. If that's not enough, this month we have the annual Best and Worst Of show as we get together with the Poison Rana crew to look back at 2025. We're also doing live watch-alongs of the Royal Rumbles from 1990 and 1995 with Brandon from New Jersey, a retrospective on the Tanahashi-Okada rivalry, plus reaction to Wrestle Kingdom 20, a review of TNA's debut on AMC, and much more, including TNA Genesis, UFC 324. It's all found at postwrestlingcafe.com. A UFC fighter is cast on CBS's Survivor for season 51.
Oh, wow. 51, that's crazy.
They're about to do season 50. It begins next month.
Do you watch that?
I do watch Survivor, yeah.
Wow. Like, yes. You're you know all the characters, like, this is a thing.
I don't know all the characters, but I've watched like the last 5 seasons of it.
And it hasn't grown to be stale.
It's all on the characters. It's like, that is the mix.
What's more stale, that or The Ultimate Fighter?
Oh, dude, Survivor is so much better than Ultimate Fighter.
Is it really? I mean, it's been like 25 years of this thing.
Survivor is maybe like the best edited show of this reality genre. Like, the stories that they conjure, like, that they're just taking these hours and hours of footage, and you go into tribal council where it's all these different angles that have been presented and who's going to vote which way. It's captivating.
Is it still Jeff Probst?
Yeah. Yeah. This dude will outlive us all. Oh yeah. It's insane. It's too long. It's 90 minutes per episode. It's way too long at this point.
Where does it air?
It's on CBS.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah.
Is it live? No, it's not live. Is the not end live? Live? But it, like the isn't like the finale live or something?
They do the final hour. The finale might be like they do have the tape portion of the finale, and then the last hour is like the retrospective with them all together. That might be live. I don't know 100% though.
I'll say unlikely.
Okay, you don't see a fighter going here. Okay, the next one here. Jack Doherty attends Knucklemania 6 in Philadelphia for Arlovski versus Ben Rothwell. God,
by the way,
what a content opportunity here for the guy.
By the way, this will be one, and I want you to note it. God willing, next year we're here to do this. This will be one where you'll say, like, remember that Jack Doherty story? Like, this will date us so much.
And the answer will be no. We don't remember this guy. Enough,
I almost didn't even remember it as you said it right here.
I know.
It'll be such a dated story by this time next year. I'll say no. I'll say unlikely.
All right. We're hitting the home stretch here. Matchroom, The Greatest Showman, is renewed for a second season by Netflix.
I'll say likely.
Okay. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did. I liked it. Did you?
I watched the first episode. I like Eddie Hearn's interviews and such. There was nothing genuine I was watching here. I felt like a performance in this first episode. Too much.
Okay. It's funny you say that. First 15 minutes, a friend of mine told me, oh, it was great. First 15 minutes, I wrote back. I was like, this whole thing is acting. It's all fake. It gets more real.
Should I give it a second go? Because I was interested to watch it, and I probably made it like 20, 35,
no, I know exactly
30
what you're talking about. They're at the horse ranch. It all felt scripted. I downloaded it and watched it on a flight, and it passed the time. Do I think it was spectacular? It was shot well and everything. My suggestion to them would be try to make it a little less scripted, but overall, I thought it was solid enough. There was some cool behind the scenes stuff. I think they'll do another one. Mm. You know what? I'm going to take it back. You know why? They're not filming anything, and they'd have to be filming now for anything. He has said this in an interview that they're not filming. So I'll take it back. I'll say unlikely.
All right. By the end of 2026, besides TKO, so we have more than one UBO by the end of the year.
Unlikely.
Okay. So this will be them carving out their own lane. Mark Coleman participates in slap fight.
Wow. Has he said he wants to do that?
I don't know. I watched this guy's videos, and it seems like something that he's just waiting for the proposal. I don't see this man turning down anything.
I hope not, so I'll say unlikely.
Okay. Next one is the most likely to come out of retirement this year, okay? So you only have to pick one of these names that is most likely to come out of retirement. John Cena, John Jones, Bill Goldberg, Terrence Crawford, Henry Cejudo.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to count Real American Freestyle as coming out, so let's keep it to MMA for Henry Cejudo. Yeah,
that's a really tough one. I'll go with the one who washed is a harsh word, but the one that's in his prime is still Terrence Crawford, so I'll say Terrence Crawford.
Okay, that's probably the
but I don't really see a great opponent for him. But he was interested in fighting Jake Paul, so let's see. But yeah, so I'll go with Terrence Crawford. Uh-oh, I've just been exposed. Oh,
it's okay. It's nighttime here.
Everyone knows. Yeah,
as the sun begins to set. Was there more of a left turn or a hard turn in an interview that you had from booking Bill Goldberg right after his retirement match to what that interview became, where it was fascinating? And I'm still waiting for this guy. He said in 2 weeks,
yes,
I could say a lot more. And we never heard from him again. This was the most bizarre interview that I don't think anyone, including yourself, was expecting from the man coming just days after this retirement match.
So, you know, it's weird. Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time. I love Bret Hart. I also love Bill Goldberg. So, you know, I know you can't, you know, be a fan of both, but I am. And I remember just texting him the day after that match. He replied right away, no problem, I'll come on, great. And I just thought we'd reminisce. I wasn't expecting any of that. And then it kind of blew up. I hope he doesn't regret doing it, and I don't really know. I don't know if he's talked about it since. I don't know if he's done an interview since.
If it has, like, nothing regarding the retirement that has, he's pretty much kept a low profile. Maybe he's done the odd interview here or there, but no, there was nothing really beyond that. But it, it was quite something.
It was.
Tyson Fury retires again.
Oh my God. Will he fight?
Yeah, and then he's got to retire again. He doesn't have to fight. He just has to retire again. But one would presume that one precedes the other.
I'll say he won't make an announcement. He'll just fight, and then like he'll allude to it, but he won't make a whole big to-do.
Okay. The final two here, okay, were wedding bells for Alex Pereira and Tracy Cortez. They tie the knot in Vegas.
I'm not saying that they're not going to stay together. I'm just saying it's a little too soon for that.
Okay. And the final one, you know, as the year begins, typically at the numbered events, UFC starts to trot out its Hall of Fame class at all of these numbered shows month by month. Mm-hmm. We get to the White House. It's Donald Trump's birthday. He is announced as the inductee for the UFC Hall of Fame the next month in Vegas.
Wow. Yeah, like the Pioneer Wing or something like that.
My God.
I'm going to say unlikely because they haven't really done that like WWE has with the celebrities. I could see it happening, but I'll say...
Oh, I could absolutely see it. Remember that documentary they did on him on Fight Pass? Yeah. I mean, they've got the video package right there.
What was it like? Was it Commander in Chief? It was something
like that.
Yeah,
that sounds right. Yeah, when they did like their kind of 30 for 30 style of videos. Yeah. Yes.
I'll say unlikely.
Okay. Well, there you go. That is the list. And time willing, Ariel, are you ready for a quick game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I try to always come up with a game to end these with. This is simply called call or go to voicemail. Okay. So let's imagine that you're getting two dual incoming contacts. You can take the call from one. The other has to go to voicemail. Now, this does not mean I like this guy and I don't like this guy. This could be strategic. You may want information from this person. You may want to settle an issue with this person, and the friend can take a back seat. It's whatever your thinking is. But these, you can only take the call from one. Our first combo, okay?
Game was going to be like green text, blue text, WhatsApp, email. But
I was going to do that, but this one ventures out.
Have we done that one? Have we done that one?
We have done. We did text or blue or green.
Yeah.
So some media heavyweights. Okay, they're coming in. You can only take one call. Bill Simmons, Pat McAfee. Whose call are you taking?
No, bro. Stop. What are you talking about? First of all, I'm gonna burn bridges here. I can't do that. Okay. I'm not gonna sit on the fence. I'll go. Okay. So what do you want me to say?
It's not a knock that you're not taking one of their calls. It's just that there might be something today that's just more pressing with one over the other.
I'll take Simmons' call.
Okay. Take Simmons' call. Pat McAfee can wait. Some media personalities here. On the one Helwani phone, we're getting Jeff Blair from Toronto. On the other, it's Andrew Marchand with a New York area code coming your way. Whose call are you taking?
I speak to Marchand more. I don't really have a relationship with Blair, so I'll take Marchand. I'm a loyal guy.
Okay. This one's going to be a tough one, okay? You're getting a call from Stephen Brunt while at the same time trying to contact you is the prolific Jeff Perlman.
Oh.
Whose call are you taking?
I'll go with Stephen Brunt because of my affinity for him. Perlman, I'll call Perlman back. He's okay with that.
Okay. It's the Syracuse University reunion, and some grads are contacting you. Representing the class of 74, Bob Costas, while on the other line, Marv Albert is on the line.
Nah, that's crazy.
Which Syracuse grad is Ariel accepting the call from?
Little known fact, Costas never actually graduated. He was one class short.
Oh, is he one credit? I think I knew that story.
He took a job doing like minor league hockey and he didn't finish up. I'll go with Albert only because I've never actually spoken to him and I have spoken to Costas.
Okay. You have to pick one of these, okay? You can't just ignore either one. From the class of 92 is Megan Kelly. The class of 91, Craig Carton.
Wait a second.
You have to take a call.
They went to Syracuse, both of them?
According to this Syracuse grad site I found, they both went.
Okay, so
part of the Orange Men.
I don't know. Okay, so let me ask you this, because there's a running joke on my show. I don't know if you know this, that I say that I like Megyn Kelly. Is that why you said it, or did you only say it because I'm a Syracuse guy?
I did this because of your Syracuse ties, but okay, I didn't know you had an affinity for Megyn Kelly.
They call me Red Pill Helwani now. I'll go with Megyn Kelly.
All right. Dave Schaller or Jen Wenk?
Bro. You're just now you're just being an instigator. Now you're
I'm not at these people aren't gonna hear this.
You never know. So when you're selling, they send it. I'll go with Jen Wenk.
Schaub or Kamaru?
Schaub?
Okay.
Did you see that video that Kamaru posted?
The one that you responded to.
No,
not the Anthony Joshua. I've not seen that. I'm sorry. I don't keep up with this show.
No, it got posted online, and it's basically a video from his video blog on his YouTube channel where he's speaking to Anthony Joshua and someone's recording from behind them.
Oh.
And this is the first time we've heard anything from Anthony Joshua. You can hear his voice.
Uh-huh.
And in the clip, he's saying, you know, it's so crazy that we're talking for the first time, but this is their first time speaking, right? But he's talking about the accident, Anthony uh-huh. is, and he's talking about his friends dying. And Kamaru's saying, like, man, you had a scare there for a second. You had a scare, but I'm so happy everything's okay. And I'm like, the guy did lose two of his best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, and everyone, and so I saw this, and everyone's like, did Anthony know that he was being recorded? Like, Anthony has said nothing.
Yeah.
I asked his team. He did not know.
Oh.
Kamaru got a lot of crap posted on Twitter saying, you know, that's on me. Someone posted the YouTube, you know, vlog. I didn't watch it. But then someone sent me his podcast, and he has a whole segment talking to Henry Cejudo about talking to Anthony Joshua. So I don't believe for a second that he didn't know that it was in it. And I just can't imagine the level of, for lack of a better term, clout chasing that you would have to possess to be like, yeah, let me record this conversation with a guy who just experienced a tragedy and put it on my video blog just so people could come in and look at my video. I mean, it's just like mind-blowing that he would
post that. Yeah, that sounds – I hadn't heard the –
And in the tweet, he writes like, my brother Anthony, like I would never do that to my brother, my friend. Like in the conversation, they're saying to each other, it's like – so great to talk to you for the first time. He ain't your brother. He ain't your friend. And you just took that conversation and posted a very, very, very private conversation for what? A few views on YouTube? Disgusting.
Yeah, pretty poor form.
Brendan Schaub.
All right. Last few here. Some other rival. Jamal Hill, Tito Ortiz.
Okay.
Chris Weidman on one line, Daniel Cormier on the other. You can only take one.
That's so tough, man. You're making me pick between like long-standing relationships. I'll go DC.
And the last one, Ryzen matchmaker Shingo Kashiwagi or Combate's Campbell McLaren.
What? First of all, the fact that you know about this and don't know about the Usman AJ thing is insane. What's up with that guy, man? I was giving them a compliment.
It was ridiculous.
What is up with that? I was giving
for those of us that Ariel like put out a congratulatory tweet that they drew like 40,000 people to their New Year's Eve card, and their matchmaker responds, "Excuse me, but what?"
Yeah,
like, took issue with this. It was so I don't crazy. Know. Like there was something lost in translation on that one, but
Campbell is batshit crazy. I'll tell you something between us friends. Campbell is like, Campbell has met some people who work at Yahoo. Okay. Like very high ranking people at some conference or something. I'll leave it at that. Campbell has texted and called them repeatedly to try to tell them about how bad of a person I am because I don't cover Combate Americas. Like that's next level insanity. That's like psychotic behavior. This dude just sent out a tweet. So I'm I'm picking up that dude's call and I'm blocking Campbell's call. I'm not just declining it, I'm blocking it.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That was call or go to voicemail, and those are your answers. Just a few super chats here. We have one here from Jared Black. I've been watching you both for a combined 30 years. All right.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for the loyalty.
How do you do this on the fly like this?
I try my
best. Where's Wei? Why doesn't Wei show up to this show, huh?
I almost had to call him in for backup. The man's he had another kid. Because I was thinking, he doesn't have any free time. Yeah, he's got two now. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
he's raising a whole
boy, girl,
army.
Boy, girl?
Boy. He has two boys now.
Okay.
Jake from the Windy City. Glad to see my two worlds collide once again. Likely or unlikely, Team Canada will reach the quarterfinals of the 2026 World Cup.
I thought he was going to ask about Team Canada hockey because that's up next. Quarterfinals? I'll say likely.
Likely. Okay. We won't hold these ones. These
Jake
are
from the Windy City. He's a regular. He's a regular on our show. Yours too.
Oh yes, yeah. Jake finds his way.
Legend. Is the Olajuwon Dream there? Where's the Olajuwon Dream? You know Olajuwon Dream?
I'm not familiar with Olajuwon Dream.
Might Winnipeg be, boy.
WWE PC merges with the UFC Performance Institute. Do they all come under one roof?
No, unlikely. One's is two different parts of the country.
Ariel attends an AEW Dynamite or pay-per-view. Are you back in the good graces? Is this all,
what do you think? What do you
water
think?
Under the bridge?
What do you think?
I thought that you kind of got the ball rolling. It is a remarkably different Tony Khan that I think we are seeing in these media settings now. He seems like he's still, you know, he's got his you know, his cards close to the vest, but I think he's less, I think he's a lot more accessible in these interviews, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like he was notoriously like, you know, he was a tough interview. I think he's still a tough interview, but I think he's somewhat come out of this shell over the last few months. And I first thought, like in your interview, where it seemed like he came and he understood, like, we do not want a repeat of the last time. And it was a much more, more of a conversation than it was like, you know, holding someone hostage.
I think there are some people behind the scenes in the company, in the PR department, that have helped him get there. So shout out to him. And I think I've said this to you. I think in a different lifetime, Tony Khan and I are probably friends. You know, like we have a lot of the same interests and we're around the same age. So I don't wish him well. Excuse me. Let me take it back. I don't wish him any ill will. I don't wish him any. I'm very pleased with the interview. I'm really happy he came. I never would have thought he would have come on the show or in studio. I hope he does again. And I've enjoyed having AEW guys on. You know, there was some sort of like blockade, but now it's no longer there. So yeah, I'd be open to it. I was actually going to go. There was, I think it was Full Gear at the Prudential Center in November. And there was some talk, but I was traveling. So it didn't work out. I actually have do I say it here? I'll save it for it. I have a crazy story surrounding that, but I'll save it for another time. That I know that was awful what I just did, but we'll talk about it later.
What
by the way, for a second, I forgot we were actually doing a show.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes.
Yourself and Tony, do you, when you come out of any of these, do you ever have any like regrets over like the back and forth stuff? Or do you feel like that was, you know, that was.
Oh, sorry. Regrets from back in the day.
The back forth that the two of you had. Do you feel like that? Hey, I was defending myself. I threw bombs. He threw bombs back. It was what it was. Or do you go back and wish?
Okay, so I know how you feel about it. I know how other people on Post Wrestling and Sean Rossap. I've heard all you guys talk about it and respect your opinion very much. What I'll say is, I don't have regrets about the actual like incident in terms of like the interaction. That Elimination Chamber weekend, what I do wish that I did a little bit better was in the aftermath of the interview, I shouldn't have been so openly critical about it. There was no need for me to say like, oh, I didn't like the interview and stuff like that. Someone gives you 90 minutes of their time, like just move on with your life. Who cares? Right. But again, the way that all came up was we were doing the segment where people asked me questions on the notes and like someone asked me about it. My memory serves me correct. And so like my whole thing is like, I'm going to tell you how I feel. Could I have like softened my response a little bit? Yeah, for sure. But as far as like that weekend and how it all escalated with all that stuff, the way I viewed it was, Tony Khan has always viewed himself as like a wrestling fan, right? Like this is the boyhood dream for him, right? Like he's running a wrestling promotion. This is what he's wanted to do. And there I am living out some kind of fantasy of my own. There I am in my hometown in a building that means a lot to me and all that stuff. And I got an opportunity out of nowhere to do something that I never thought I'd ever do. And like this dude is crapping on me. And so in my mind, I'm like, yeah, F you. But I'll tell you what, like I've heard people talk about it, Meltzer included, like no one was calling him that. Like I didn't take any term. I literally just did that on the spot. You know, like I was just mad that this guy I felt was like trying to ruin my moment. But it wasn't like I was being sent to say that. So
no,
the point is not to rehash all of this, but the point is if I'm not as critical as I am to begin with, we never even get to that point. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
and I'm not like even coming at it from any like judging point of view. I only look at it in the sense of like, I think that there is like today, I think there's a fine line between like stuff gets hurled your way. And it's like, I experience a little bit of this. You probably experience a lot of it, is that there comes a point of like defending yourself and like how much you allow that you will engage with criticism that you receive from fighters, from personalities that way. And, you know, it's just in terms of how that's going to be received when it's happening like publicly. And I think it's a tough balancing act.
I'm trying. I see stuff every day and I see fighters and sometimes I respond and sometimes I don't. And my general rule is like, when you come after my reputation, then I'm going to hit back, because you know what, the longest time, and especially like, I think the ESPN experience was so stifling, where I was told repeatedly, like, you cannot say anything. You can never respond. Even if Dana White's going on this show and talking about like, you cannot say anything. And then at the very end, I weighed in on the Gina Carano controversy and I got like some pushback for that. And I felt in the aftermath, like the shackles had been taken off. And so that's why like the whole heel Wani thing, 2021, 22. But now it's like the Carl Froch. I don't look forward to this. I don't like it. I don't want it. I'd much rather. And quite frankly, I know people get excited about beefs. Like the way I view my content is, you know, you're walking your dog, you're a mailman, you're a landscaper, you're a 9-to-5 blue collar worker. Like, I don't think you want to be saddled with this nonsense. I think you want to have fun and this place to be an escape. Time to time, there's going to be some action, cool, but like, I don't want to be known as the angry guy, because I'm not an angry person. So I don't want that to become my identity. But yes, to your point, sometimes you come at me, I do feel like in the past, I always said, don't engage. I've changed my stance a little bit, but I'm not looking to do that. And again, I'll say this about Tony, last thing on this, but I'll say about Tony, like most people in my career that I've gotten into like blowups with, don't ever like drop the grudge, right? And we could have both held on to a grudge, whatever it is. And like the fact that he did, and I know he's a promoter and he's trying to sell and blah, 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 but like I give him a lot of credit for showing up. And I think like he was cool, and hopefully he felt like I was cool. And like, you know about some of the grudges that have been held against me. Like most people are holding on to those grudges. So kudos to him.
You have the Olympics coming up February 6th through 22nd. Will that be a full break from shows and such? I imagine while you're over in Italy, what is the Olympic break looking like for you?
Yeah. For the CBC, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be in Livigno, which is a mountain town where the skiing and the snowboarding will be. I'll be leaving on February 3rd and I'll be coming back on February 23rd. So the day after the men's gold hockey game, which is the final event, we will not be stopping, but we'll be a little bit creative. So like the boys in the back, Connor and Eric, who do such a great job, they'll do more than one show, but I'll be contributing, whether it's live, whether it's sending in tape things, but the Monday through there will be something every day. It will obviously be different. I won't be doing interviews and stuff like that because it's tough, man. It's 18 days. It's intense. It's about sports that I'm not well versed in, so I have to be like locked in. I hope the audience understands, but the content will be there. It will just be a little bit different, but I think some people will enjoy how it's a little bit different and maybe the breath of fresh air. There's no pay-per-view that I'm not missing a PLE or whatever you want to call it, because the February one is technically January 31st/February 1st in Australia, and then the next one is March 7th. So that actually worked out quite nicely for me. So yeah, I'll still be working. It'll just be different.
And the last one from me, and then we will get you out of here. 2025 was the first full year of Uncrowned. How do you feel at this point, roughly 16 months of Uncrowned, of where you are now, and what are you looking at as like what defines success for you for this year going ahead, like any certain things you're looking at specifically?
So I had like several things that, you know, I put on a checklist, you know, obviously like getting the shows off the ground, the YouTube channel.com, and I'll get to that in a moment. And then, you know, once we got everything, you know, off the ground, the next big thing that I wanted to get off the ground was Uncrowned Films and getting Casey back and doing stuff like that. And we've done a few with him and some others in the works as well. The next thing is I want to add, we're going to add two, hopefully in the not too distant future, two more shows. One's a boxing specific show that does not include me, and one's a wrestling show that does not include me. And so I'm excited about that. And what I'm super excited about, and which I don't think gets talked about enough, like I think uncrowned.com is so good. Like the writing, the journalism, Shaheen, editor-in-chief, does such a good job. I'm very proud of the wrestling. I don't know if you check it out, but friend of yours, Robert Jackman, does a great job on there. Scott D'Amore's weekly column, it was everything I wanted it to be, our sort of version of the Ross Report. I'm really, really proud of the writing. You know, I've told you this many years ago. Like, to me, the Fight Network was always like the end-all be-all. And I feel like this is the closest thing to what the Fight – obviously, it's totally different. But what the Fight Network was in its heyday, right, with the reporting that you guys used to do with the MMA and boxing and pro wrestling and giving it all like that professional feel – And maybe we've taken the baton and taken it to somewhere else, but very, very, very proud of it. And I think we're very much positioned as one of the leaders as far as, you know, the journalism is concerned. We're not covering things on a day-to-day basis like, you know, niche sites, but I'm very proud of how that vision has come together, how everyone's working together. And yeah, one full year under the belt, why shouldn't it get better after the second full year? So Yahoo's been a great partner. I really can't complain. But there are things. There's I'm not content. There's more that I want to do and add, but I'm very, very happy with where things stand.
Well, everyone, that's going to bring us to a close for the 2026 MMA prediction show. Set your calendars for January of 2027. We will come knocking again.
God willing, you know, we always have to say God willing, because life is not guaranteed. But January 7th seems like a Thursday. Usually we do these on a Thursday, 2026. Likely, unlikely, we tape this show on January 7th, 2026.
Should we try and go live again next year?
Listen, I am Mr. Live, okay? Helwani equals live. It's just this damn internet, you know? Who would have thought? As they say, as my mother always says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans for the future. So there you go.
Well, expect a message from me. All I'm going to write next year, I'm just going to say, "You all right, mate? You all right?" From the great Pete Carroll. Okay.
What a guy. What a guy. What a guy. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Keep up all the great work. You guys are doing great. Special shout out to my Buffalonian friend, Brandon Thurston. That article that he posted over the break about all the Vince McMahon stuff, that was incredible journalism. Yeah, like incredibly thorough. Well done. But all the stuff that you're doing is great, as always. And you have a new fan, my friend Jason Tackerman, who I grew up with, who I actually, he's going to love this because he was so excited that I was coming on. I went to the Montreal Screwjob with Jason Tackerman in 1997. He was the one that got me back into wrestling. High school friend. We were both doing our driving test. He tells me, "Hey, you know, WWE is having Survivor Series in town." I was like, "What? Survivor Series? Like, they never bring pay-per-views here." So we go together in the rafters. I have no idea about what's going on. He gets me back in. He loves your show. He loves the businessy side of things. He was the one that told me you guys were talking about the Bills yesterday. And anyway, shout out to him. Shout out to
Out to Jason. Yes, appreciate the support in Vancouver. Very much. All right, everyone. That's going to wrap it up for the 2026 MMA Prediction Show.
Someone just needs to be the one to step up. And that's, it's you. All right, you're the one. You're right. You're the right. Voice in your head that's saying, should I say something about this? Yes, you should. He's being a fucking dickhead. Say straight away, hey, what's going on there? You all right?